We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Let's stand together and sing. This morning we're going to sing, I Will Not Be Shaken. My soul finds rest in you, my fortress and my rock, my hope for life, my hiding place, my refuge and my God. In you I found my home, my shelter from the storm, and I'll pour out my heart to you and lean upon your throne. I will put my trust in you. I will put my hope there too. I will stand upon your word and I will not be shaken. I will let my praises show, holding on to what I know, because I know you're always there and I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. My soul finds rest in you, fortress and my rock, my hope for life, my hiding place, my refuge and my God. In you I found my home, my shelter from the storm, and I'll pour out my heart to you and lean upon your throne. I will put my trust in you, I will put my hope there too. I will stand upon your word and I will not be shaken. I will let my praises show, holding on to what I know, because I know you're always there and I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I'm leaning on your throne, because you died for me and called me to your own. And even when the strongest winds begin to blow, I will stand my ground. I will not be moved, I will not be shaken. My soul finds rest in you, my fortress and my rock, my hope for life, my hiding place, my refuge and my God. I will put my trust in you, I will put my hope there too. I will stand upon your word and I will not be shaken. I will let my praises show, holding on to what I know, because I know you're always there and I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Are you standing on the rock this morning? Amen. Let's sing together this morning. Sing to the King. You can be seated.
Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now.
the King. So come, let us sing a song, a song declaring we belong to Jesus, and He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise, sing now with voices raised to Jesus, sing to the King,
sing to the King. And that's what we want to do this morning. Let's continue worshiping by singing this morning, My Savior and My God.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. Him at His word and deed. Christ is saved to set me free. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high. Strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. Yes, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my soul is from the spring, that He who lives to be my King was dying to be my Savior. He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count His strength, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be.
My Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives. Does your Savior live this morning? Amen. Let's stand together and sing this morning, if you would. It's called Revelation Song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Let's sing that together again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and give honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. To the King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name, Jesus, your name is power, bread, the living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. The King of Kings, you are my everything, I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings, you are.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come together today. We can lift up your name. And just like the song says, all creation praises you. And so, Lord, we want to join our voices today with all creation and to praise you and lift you up. We ask that you be glorified in this place. We ask that you speak through your word now as Brother Jay comes to deliver the message this morning. I want to say thank you, Lord, just for letting us be here today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Kent and praise band, praise team, thank you all very much. Good morning. Turn, please, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Turn to the 122nd Psalm. Get your listening sheet out with a pen or pencil, please. A message entitled Church Day. I heard one time about a man that was really upset and frustrated about getting up and going to church. He was laying in bed and his wife told him it was time to get up and time to get ready, and he said, "I'm not going." And she said, well, why not? And man, he started giving off several reasons why he didn't want to go to church. He said the people weren't friendly. He said not very many people shook his hand. He said, matter of fact, a lot of people complained to him. He said, I don't necessarily like the music. He said, I don't really like the songs that the choir does. And he said, the praise team is usually too loud. And he said, I don't get along real well with the music director, the worship leader. And he said, the service is usually too long. And his wife stood there beside the bed, and she folded her hand, and she said, well, you know what? Really, all that stuff is accurate. But you got to get up and you got to go to church. And the primary reason is you're the pastor. Well, I like this simple verse in Psalm 122, verse 1. Let's read that together. You ready? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's say that again. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times we misquote this by saying, I was sad when they said unto me. I hope that's not the case with you today. I have a niece, Kay and I have a niece, and matter of fact, here she is. That's Katie. And Katie is, she's 32, I think. She was born with cerebral palsy. Katie's got a mentality maybe of, I don't know, 5 years, six perhaps. She got a, I don't know if she's got a 100-word vocabulary. I don't know that she does. Now, Katie actually is pretty bright. And, man, we enjoy being around her, and she just got a sweet spirit and sweet attitude about everything. And ever since she was quite young, now her mom and dad, they've been in church all her life and beyond that. And it is not unusual to this day. Almost every day that when she wakes up, one of the first things that she says to her mom or dad is, church day? Church day? She loves church. She loves going to church. And she's disappointed about 6 days a week. Because I'm telling you, almost every day that she wakes up, even to this day, and she started doing this when she was quite young, because they took her to church, and it has been and is just a big part of their life, and a big part of her life, and she loves it. She loves going to church, and there's a lot more to that story, to be honest with you, but she wakes up, and one of the first things out of her mouth is, church day, hoping that today is the day. Why don't you say those two words with me? Church day. Say it again. Church day. Well, that's what today is. Today's church day. And that's a good thing. Because in fact, as the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I want to show you four specific things that need to happen on church day. And if these four things will happen, you will respond with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Here they are. Four things. Number one, Christ is exalted. Christ is exalted. If you'll come to church for just one reason, if you'll come to church for one purpose, one focus, if you will have a single-minded vision in order to worship Jesus Christ as the Savior, Lord, and lover of your life, then He will be exalted in your life. He will be exalted in this worship service. And the fact is, when He is exalted, you have been to worship. Now, if you were looking for a spot to say amen, that would have been a pretty good one right there. All right, there you go. You see, we're not here to brag on anybody or anything other than Jesus. That's it. That's why we have come today. We need to learn to praise Him. We need to learn to lift Him up. We need to learn to brag on Him, to boast about Jesus Christ. We need to thank Him. We need to point people to Him. We need to make Him look good in our worship service and outside these four walls. He and He alone deserves our worship and our praise and our adoration and our love and our exaltation. Now, as a matter of fact, why don't we stop right here and let's do that right now in two or three different ways. First of all, why don't we do it verbally? So why don't you say, I praise Him, then finish that line. I praise Him. We're talking about Jesus. I praise Him for whatever, okay? So let's do that verbally. Let's exalt Him. Let's brag on Him. Let's boast about Him. Let's lift Him up. Let's worship Him. Let's give praise to Him. So why don't you do that, okay? So just let's start over here. I praise Him for... Oh, by the way, I'm an extremely patient man. Okay?
I praise Him for my children.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good.
Salvation,
yeah.
Loving us and teaching us to love.
Oh, wow. Loving us and teaching us to love.
Freeing us from our addictions and our inadequacy.
Oh, wow.
Loving us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love, mercy.
Okay, yeah.
For a new life.
New life, okay. Did you all know there are people sitting up in the balcony? Yeah.
I pray for my health.
Okay, good. Come on. I'm sorry, what?
For never leaving
my side. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Forgiving our sins.
Yeah.
For mercy and grace.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
For our church.
Yes.
He is faithful.
Yes, yeah. Being faithful.
scripture.
His scripture, yeah. Yeah. Man, these are good. These are good. And so when we come here in his house, I mean, wow, it's church day. It's church day. And I was glad when they said, hey, let's go to First Baptist today. Okay. Why? Well, Jesus Christ is exalted. And so, verbally. Now, let's do that just, let's exalt him physically. And we can do that in a couple of ways. One is by lifting our hands to the Lord. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 63, he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So let's do that. You're thinking, oh, wait a minute, preacher. I'm a Baptist. Well, you can get over that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I've got some Pentecostal friends, and I mean lots of Pentecostal friends, and I say to them, hey, you got to be patient with me. I'm a Baptist, and so I'm pretty good at lifting one hand. No, I don't mind telling you, I love Jesus Christ so much, I'm pretty good at lifting both hands. So let's do that. Let's give him praise because I love him. Come on. Come on. Don't let your pride get in the way. Come on. If you got somebody next to you that's not lifting up their hand, just give them a real big jab. All right? All right? Oh, yeah. And so we're praying, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now, here's another way that we give him praise, and that is using our 10-stringed instruments. Come on. Come on. Come on. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, wow. We need to learn to give expressions of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So we exalt Christ verbally, and we exalt Christ physically, and we exalt Christ with singing. Kent, you do a great job with that. You got something off the top of your head we could do? Huh?
Let's sing How Great Is Our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Amen. Yeah. Kent, thanks. All right. Well, it's church day, and I was glad when they said to me, well, let's go into the house of the Lord. Why would I want to do that? Well, number one, because Christ is exalted. Number two, the Bible is expounded. The Bible is expounded. Listen, when we get together, we need to come for the nourishment of our souls. Well, what is it that you feed your soul? Well, you feed it soul food, my friend. And that is right here. That's where you get it. That's where you get food for the soul. That's where you feed your soul. You feed it soul food, and there's only one place to get soul food, and that is from the Word of God. Now, get ready to jot down a whole bunch of scriptures, because as we go through this point, I'm going to show you a bunch of scriptures. We'll look at them quickly, but we won't have time to expound on any of them. But the Word of God is milk and meat for our soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. I saw the picture of a new grandson this morning already. And can't you imagine that new mama with that brand new grandson spent a wonderful night last night? That baby slept all the way through the night. How many of you are moms? You know that ain't so then, don't you? But you also know that, maybe around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, that little baby said, pardon me, Mama. Hey, Mama. I know you're sleeping, but would you mind? I could use just a little milk. Please. And you know that ain't so either, don't you? She may have been sleeping, but she got awakened abruptly. And it wasn't any of this little kind, sweet stuff. She got the word real quickly. That kid is hungry, and he wants something to eat, and he wants it when? Now. Well, look at this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Do you have that kind of passion? To saying, oh God, I need the milk of your Word, and I need it now. Wow. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you weren't able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. All right, the Word of God is milk and meat for the soul. Listen, when we come together at First Baptist Church, we preach and teach from God's Word. Now, let me tell you something. Every person you have standing here in this pulpit, you need to expect that person to preach and teach from God's Word. Your new pastor that's coming. And you may say, well, Jay, do you know something that I don't? No, we know the same thing. God's got a good pastor for you. Amen? Yes. Now, when that new pastor shows up, you need to expect him to stand here in this pulpit and teach and preach from the Word of God. That just needs to happen. Every principle and every word in this book is the Word of God. It is truth. And listen, there's no use getting all dressed up on Sunday morning just to come for a sermonette. That's why I don't preach sermonettes. I'm not interested in giving you a sermon light. I'm not interested in saying to you, listen, this morning I think we're just going to have the Reader's Digest version. I'm not going to say to you, hey, belly on up to the bar here for a glass of Bible light. Ain't going to have much to it, but we'll get out of here early. No, we've come to God's house because this is where the Bible is expounded. And you need to expect that from your Sunday school teachers also. I haven't had the time to view and review Sunday school structure around here. I think it's pretty solid, and I think it's pretty good from what I hear. But I'm telling you, when you go to Sunday school class, how many of you go to Sunday school? Keep your hands up. Now look around. If you see somebody next to you that doesn't have their hand up, say, guess what you can do this morning with me? You can take them to Sunday school class with you. And so we go to Sunday school where we can get fed the Bible. And so that's another thing that ought to take place here at First Baptist Church. When I was pastor at First Baptist in Branson for 28 years, periodically I would have Sunday school teachers that would come up to me and say, "Hey, preacher, do you see this book I've been reading? I'm going to teach this. I'm going to teach this at our Sunday school." And I'd say, "That looks like a pretty good book, and I know that author, and he's a good author. And no, you ain't going to teach it in your Sunday school." But I'd smile saying that. No, you ain't going to do that. And the reason is, at our Sunday school, you know what we taught? Yeah. We didn't teach about this book. We taught this book. Everybody with me? Some of you getting upset over what I'm saying? We'll get over that too. Hey, listen. Here's what we do here at God's house. Here's what we teach. We teach God's Word. That's what ought to come from this pulpit. That's what ought to come from your Sunday school classes. We teach God's Word. And the reason is, God's Word says about itself many things. We'll see here in just a minute. But God's Word says about itself that people will know the truth. And it's the truth that sets people free. And there's only one book of truth, my friend, and that is this book right here. And that's what needs to happen in God's house. I heard about a visitor one time that came to church, and he came in. He sat next to an elderly lady, and he went through the worship service, and he heard the preacher preach. And at the end of the sermon, he leaned over to this elderly lady, and he said, "Now I'm a visitor here. This is the first time I've been here." And he said, Your pastor didn't say much today. And she smiled and looked at him. She said, "Oh, he never does, but he always implies so much." Well, let me tell you something. I haven't come here to imply about Christianity. I want to say it, and I want to say it clearly, and I want to say it plainly. We want to hear from God when we come together. We want to have a message from our homeland when we come together. We want to hear a "Thus saith the Lord" when we come into God's house. We want to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that is inerrant, that is infallible, that is inspired, and that is incorruptible. This book was put together by men inspired of God, and I want you to know it ought to be taken apart by men inspired of God as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, how much? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a four-step journey, my friend. That's a whole other sermon. We believe at First Baptist Church, or at least we ought to, that it matters what you believe. And what you believe needs to be based upon the truths and the principles and the precepts that are contained right here in this book. We don't preach about the Bible, we preach the Bible. We expound on the teachings of the Bible, attempting to make them applicable to everyday living. And it's the understanding that it's the Holy Spirit that applies the truths of this book to our heart and to our life. You see, that's the miracle of preaching. I haven't understood this, and I've been preaching for 50 years, but it's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God takes the truth of God's Word, and He applies that truth to your heart, and consequently, somebody will come up to me and say, "Whoa, I really got something out of that sermon today." And I say, "Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad that you did. That's the work of the Holy Spirit." And somebody will say, "Here's what I got out of it." And somebody else over here will say, "Man, I got something out of that sermon today." I said, "Well, I'm glad you did." And they'll say, "Here's what I got out of it." And it's something totally different from what somebody got over here, and something totally different from what somebody got up here. Now, I've preached on tithing before and seen two people get saved. And I preached a message about salvation, and someone came up the altar and said, "God convicted me today, I ought to tithe." Okay. You see, that's the miracle of preaching. Where one set of words from my mouth means something to you, but means something different to this person. And means something different to this person, and something different up here. That's the miracle of preaching through the Holy Spirit. But it's still truth, my friend. And it's meant to be accepted, believed, and lived out by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's vitally important for you to pray for the people who preach and who teach here in this church, so that we can be like the early apostles who gave themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Acts chapter 6. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually, how often? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We need to pray for the anointing of God to be upon the pastor and the preachers and the teachers. You know what we ought to do right now? Let's just stop right now and let's pray for your new pastor. Let's do that. Father, thank you so much for the man of God that you know is going to come as pastor for this church. Father, I don't have any idea what his name is. I don't have any idea when he's coming. But you know all of that. You know who he is, and you know when he's appointed to be here. But Lord, I want to thank you that he is the man of God. I want to thank you that he is a man that loves your word. I want to thank you that he is a man that is passionate about the Word of God. I want to thank you that he is a man that knows how to shuck the corn. He knows how to preach the Word. He knows how to spend time in the Word, so that when he comes to this pulpit, it's obvious he spent time in the Word. It's obvious he spent time with you. And he's got a good dish of food all served up, ready to share with the people of First Baptist Mountain Grove. So, Lord, I just want to thank you in advance that you have the man of God designed to stand in this pulpit who will preach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And I pray this with praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, all right, we're talking about the fact that when we come on church day, Christ is exalted and the Bible is expounded. You see, the Bible tells us that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off his shoulder, and his yoke from off his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." You need to pray when you come to church. You need to pray that the anointing of God will be upon the pastor. You need to pray that that man that's standing in the pulpit will have the anointing of God upon him. And the reason is, the anointing is what breaks the yoke of bondage. And there are people here in this auditorium right now, in one way or another, that are under bondage. You might be under bondage financially. You might be under bondage maritally. You might be under bondage with a family circumstance, a family situation. You might be under bondage at work. You might be under bondage of sin. You might be under bondage of some stronghold that's overtaken you in your life. Some addiction. And if you get honest looking in the mirror, you'd have to say to yourself, and you have to look up and say to God, I've got chains around me. I'm under bondage. And listen, it's the Word of God and the anointing of the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks those yokes of bondage, my friend. And there are people out here in Mountain Grove that you're going to confront and you're going to deal with. And they're in bondage. That's why when you come on church today, that's why when you come to God's house, together, corporately, we need to ask God to send that anointing. And that anointing needs to be on your pastor and on the preacher so that we can see the power of God breaking through and people set free. Everybody with me? Now, we need to believe God's word because of what God's word says about itself. Get ready to write these down. Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. That's Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I know it's there. 89. Psalm 119, 89. There it is. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All right, here's the next one. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. We need to come here praying that God's word might have free course. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that moves throughout the church in order to wield the sword of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that needs to wield that sword in order to do His surgical work in our hearts and our lives every time we come together in worship. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I can tell you some phenomenal stories of God's Word working as a result of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is phenomenal. Listen, get ready to write these four things down. When we come together, the Bible needs to be expounded. The Bible needs to be explained. The Bible needs to be expressed. And the Bible needs to be embraced by the Christian believer. All right, here's the third thing. We're talking about church day. Say those two words with me. Church day. And we've come together because I was glad. I was glad when they said to me, hey, let's go to First Baptist Church today. Here's the third reason. Christ is exalted. The Bible's expounded. Number three, Christianity is exemplified. Christianity is exemplified. I sure am glad that I got a dose of Christianity, my friend, and I got a good dose back when I got saved. I shared my testimony with you last Sunday, and I got a dose of Christianity, and I haven't gotten over it yet, my friend, and I don't ever intend getting over it. I accept Jesus Christ my Savior 49 years ago, and it's been the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. How about for you? The greatest thing. And when we come together in God's house, we need to exemplify Christianity. I must admit, I don't understand for the life of me why a church would come together in the name of Christianity, purporting to know Jesus and to love Jesus and to spend time griping and complaining and backbiting and backstabbing and criticizing and minimizing. Now, does that ever happen at your church? Go like this. Sure it is. Sure it does. Yeah, I know. I mean, you're a Baptist church. I know it does. But I don't understand it. And a lot of churches get caught up in that kind of carnal circus type atmosphere. And it ought not to be. You don't get that stuff out of this book, my friend. No. That's not the way we're supposed to function. And when we come together on church day, we ought to come together to exemplify Christianity. Now, we shouldn't just contain that on Sundays, but man, it ought to happen on Sundays. And it ought to be obvious when we come together on church day. Look what it says in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a little criticism and complaining going on. Is that what it says? If you have what? What? If you have love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. When we come to God's house, it ought to be a house where love lives. It ought to be a house where our spiritual blisters can get healed. You got any spiritual blisters? Sure, many of us do. And it ought to be a place when we come on church day where our spiritual blisters can get healed. There ought to be so much of Jesus Christ being exemplified down here at this church that the community sets up and takes notice, recognizing and realizing that God hangs out at First Baptist Church. Amen? This is where Jesus hangs out. We ought to be able to exemplify the love of Christ and the forgiveness of God. There ought to be a lot of praying and singing and praising and preaching and teaching and Christian type stuff going on down here at the church house. Listen, the world's going to hate us. John chapter 15, verse 19 says that. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I had somebody come to Branson not long ago, a friend of mine, and he said, you know, I've been here a couple of days and I've asked some folks about you. And he said, you've got a pretty good reputation here in town. And I said, wow. I said, if you don't mind, I said, why don't I give you the other list? And you can go talk to them what they think about me. Because I said, there are plenty of folks around Branson that don't like me. And you know what? That kind of stuff bothers me to the point that I can't get to sleep at night until just after dark. There are some folks that dislike me. And the reason is, they dislike the truth. They don't like to hear the truth. And why in the world should I think that the world should love me? It hated Jesus. It crucified him. So why do I think the world's gonna love me? Well, I don't think that. I got over that a long, long time ago. I want Jesus to be the one that loves me, and I know he does. And so just understand that when we get to loving one another, and when we get to proclaiming the Word of God, and when we get to speaking truth, and when we get to declaring the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the world's not going to be happy about that. So just understand that, my friend. But when we come together on church day, then this is a place where Christianity ought to be exemplified. And then we'll go out into the world to evangelize. But the tragedy is there's so much of the world in the church that we can hardly tell it apart. We ought to live separated lives, and Christianity ought to be so exemplified in an obvious way by the people who gather together on church day. All right, why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, I love you anyway. Just go ahead and say that. Okay. Here's the last thing I want you to see. We're talking about church day. We're talking about coming together in God's house. We're talking about, I was glad when they said, hey, let's go into the house of the Lord. All right, when that happens, Christ is exalted, the Bible is expounded, Christianity is exemplified, and finally, the Holy Spirit is experienced. The Holy Spirit is experienced. Now, when we come together, we're coming together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 tells us that. Verse 23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. You see, we're dealing with the spirit realm when we come together. That's the unseen world, the realm of spiritual things. So we need to begin recognizing and realizing and experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit of God when we come together. When we come together, we need to expect God's Spirit to move throughout this auditorium. You see, the Holy Spirit of God can go where we can't go. Man, this preacher's stupid enough periodically to come down off the pulpit and walk up and down the aisle. And some of you are thinking, oh, what's he going to do? And I hope he doesn't get too close to me. But see, here's the reality. It doesn't matter if I chain myself to the pulpit. You can't chain the Holy Spirit down, my friend. No. And even if I stay up there and hold on to that pulpit for dear life, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is moving throughout. He even can get up as high as the balcony. You thought you were safe, but you're not. You see, this is the unseen realm. And it's the Spirit of God that moves in this auditorium. And it's the Spirit of God that comes to where you happen to be sitting. And it's the Spirit of God that sits down right next to you. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. And it's the Spirit of God that starts dealing with your heart. The Spirit can go where we can't go. That's why when people say to me, oh, listen, pray for my son, pray for my daughter, pray for my grandpa, pray for my uncle. I don't think he could ever be reached. Oh, listen, that's not an accurate statement, my friend, because the Spirit of God can say what we can't say and touch where we can't touch and move where we can't move. And get into a person's heart and get into a person's life and get down to the nitty-gritty of where that person happens to be living. Everybody following this? And when we come together on church day, we ought to be expecting to experience the Holy Spirit in the unseen realm moving throughout this auditorium. And listen, it's a real honor. It's a real honor when the Holy Spirit puts His finger on the pulse of your life and says, pay attention, because Jay's talking to you and the Word of God is applied to you. And what you just heard come out of the preacher's mouth, that was for you. That's a phenomenal honor that God wants to do business with you. And we need to realize as Christians three things. First of all, the Spirit wants to work in you. The Spirit wants to work in you. Secondly, the Spirit wants to work through you. And thirdly, I love this, the Spirit wants to work for you. That's amazing to me. You're dealing with a totally different realm, folks, when you begin dealing with the realm of the Spirit. And so many of us avoid anything having to do with the Spirit of God. But when you avoid the things of the Spirit, you are diminishing your Christianity purely to the carnal, fleshly realm. And that's void of power. And that's void of the presence of God. But when you open up your heart, you open up your life, and you open up your spirit to the work of God's Spirit, then you are no longer dealing and living in the natural realm. But you begin to live in the supernatural realm, and that's when you begin to see God doing things in your life. And I want you to know that's what God wants to do. He wants to work in you and for you and through you supernaturally. And that's what he wants to do at First Baptist Church. I said that's what he wants to do at First Baptist Church. Do you need that? Yes. Yes. And that is what God wants to do. And that's when you'll begin to see things happen in your life. And that's when you'll begin to see things happen in your church. And it can only be explained by giving credit and acknowledgement and glory and honor to the God who works through the Spirit of God Himself. Christ is exalted, the Bible is expounded, Christianity is exemplified, and the Holy Spirit is experienced. I want you to know, I can't say it any better than Katie. I can't say it any better than Katie Lewis. It's church day. It's church day. And I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for church day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you. Why don't you come to the altar today and just start by rejoicing. God, thanks for church day. I was glad that I came here today. Help me to be glad every Lord's Day. And help me to live by these four factors every time I walk in to these doors. Ask God for His anointing. Ask God for the Spirit of God to begin moving through this church in supernatural ways. That's what Kay and I are praying for you. Join us in that. So I'm going to ask Christians to come to the altar unashamed, and just ask God to move every time you walk through these doors on church day. Now, are you a Christian today? The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. If you're not a Christian, it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you, saying you need Jesus today. So just get up out of your seat in just a moment and come on forward and say, I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. Do you have a church home? Well, you need one. There are reasons. There are biblical reasons for you to have a church home. If you don't have a church home, I'm telling you, it's a good church. And there are great days ahead for this church. And God may be saying to you, this is the place and now is the time for you to attach yourself to this church. Have you been baptized by immersion since you've been a Christian? If you haven't, then we need to explain that to you and counsel with you about that. And then we need to get you under the water. There's reasons for that, biblically. And so you come and say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized. Well, we'll expedite that soon, all right? Or if we can just pray with you about something. Come on. Let's stand together. Come on to the altar.
I hear.
Come. We'll honor anybody who may continue to pray, but anyone else need to come.
Jesus, come on. Paid it all.
The Holy Spirit is working on you. Don't say no. Don't grieve him.
Sin
don't quench him.
A crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
All right. Thank you so much. Once again, I just thank you for your attentiveness, and thank you for just soaking up the Word of God. Every time we come together now, let's be glad that it's church day. All right? God bless you. You may be seated.